Welcome in to Fesco and Dusty.
I mean, come on, guys. What are we doing here?
A show that, analytically, exists between 6 and 10 weekday mornings on Kansas City's only FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Oh, buddy.
Live from the studios that brought you...
Hey, what's going on, man?
Here's Bob Fesco and Dusty Likens.
I love this time of year because you're either a whale or a gazelle. For those of you that get that reference, I appreciate your degenerate lifestyles. For those of you that are the whales, you wait until you move. You get to, like, when's the first game? September 7th?
Your first NFL game?
Yeah.
Yeah, something 8th, 9th maybe, something, whatever that Wednesday is, because the Chiefs play on the 14th, which is a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So the prior Monday would be the 7th, Tuesday the 8th, Wednesday the 9th.
Yep. So like a lot of people might be like, I'm going to wait until the 8th to make my bets. Whereas that would be the whale. The gazelle, you're already in, right? Max already got his futures. He's got his MVP. He's got all that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, now you can do this because during the week of August 31st to September 4th, we are going to be starting a new tradition called Futures Week. We will predict the Chiefs record, the NFL division winners, Super Bowl matchup plus Super Bowl winner, and also the awards. So MVP, DPOY, OPOY, Rookie of the Year, and Defensive Rookie of the Year for Offense and Rookie of the Years too as well.
Did you make your predictions already on this, or do you wait until... I would wait until probably Labor Day weekend. Like Tuesday, because we still got two more weeks of preseason.
Correct.
And somebody could get injuries and cuts and moves and trades and all that kind of stuff. And so while you have an idea of what it is right now, I like to wait till the 53-man rosters are set, and then you really know, because what if somebody, like, what if all of a sudden Tyler Shuck has a knee injury and can't play this year? Well, the New Orleans is off for me.
What's the line from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
Which one?
Well, you're playing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, somebody loses their quarterback. I don't care who your backup quarterback is. You're screwed.
Yeah, so I mean, it's...
You just want to get the odds when you can.
Yeah, that's the thing, too.
If you liked the Saints 3 weeks ago was the time.
Yeah.
That's gone now.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah,
because everybody's talking about the Saints right now, and that's how Vegas works. The Saints didn't get better. The Saints didn't change as a team. There's excitement around the Saints right now. So Las Vegas is looking at that and going, oh, we can get a lot of these suckers like Fesco to bet money on the Saints that are going to win the Super Bowl. So let's, you know, change the odds a little bit, and that's what they did.
And that's the other thing, too, is that, you know, the thing that's kind of hurting my offensive player of the year that I wanted to go with, because I want to go with Puka Nacua. But we saw that there was a suspension this weekend to the former Tennessee volunteer, now James Atlanta Pierce. Falcon. He got 8 games.
That's a big one.
No challenge. He's going to take his medicine, check into
what
rehab.
What did he do again?
Mac?
Yeah, I mean, it's so bad. I mean, he's domestic abuse, so bad. And the fact that he's getting, I mean, I don't know.
Mac,
he should not be in this
year.
League.
So
he shouldn't be in this league.
Oh, banished.
He shouldn't be in this league.
Okay, I guess I didn't do enough research on exactly what he did. Yeah. So I'll look at that if you don't want to talk about it. But
yeah,
it's
I'd rather not get into it.
Domestic abuse?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
It's ugly.
Yeah, you don't deserve to play in the NFL for that.
No, it's so bad, dude.
It's not good.
It's so bad. And he's going to get, it's just terrible.
And then, you know, Puka could get suspended because we saw that he had the incident where he was kind of being watched like a hawk after the whole biting incident and the whatever you want to call everything else he's done.
You know, the anti-Semitic stuff.
Correct. And then he had the incident where he was at Fanatics Fest and ran through the glass and like all this other stuff. So who knows? Josh Jacobs, another one that, you know, could possibly, because we did this last year with Rashee Rice. What's the suspension going to be?
Mm-hmm.
Some people were saying there may not be any games. Some people were saying 4. Then it comes out at 6. So that's the other thing too. Like, let's say that, you know, you want to wait. There's no issue with that. But like, even during the regular season, let's say that you see the opening line of the Chiefs and the Broncos. What is it? Probably, it's probably out there. Are the Chiefs favored
three
by
and a half? Okay. I think is what it was when I saw originally.
So maybe you are a Broncos fan and you're like, man, right now we're getting 3.5. Well, what happens if later on in the, you know, preseason, Bo Nix looks fine? Patrick Mahomes may not be playing, so they adjust that line to, you know, 1.5 to 2. Well, now you've got 1.5 more to play with. So it just kind of depends on where you want to go with it. But yeah, we will be doing that from August 31st to September 4th. So that's literally next week.
Yeah. Like, I just hate picking teams early because we just don't know. Sure. Like, there's so much can change in the NFL.
But that's why the money's so much better, right?
Yeah, like, of course, yeah.
Right now, if you wanted to take, like, what the MVP odds favorite right now are Josh Allen, I believe.
He's the favorite for the MVP this year?
That's right.
Didn't he win it last year?
No. Matt Stafford. Okay. He won it 2 years
two
ago.
2 years ago. Okay.
Yeah. But like a guy that maybe if you guys think that you're heavy on the Saints, maybe you throw a dart at Tyler Shuck to win MVP.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Which I'm sure he's at like 2,200 or something like that right now.
I bet he's, way more than that.
If they go 9-7, is he the MVP? We're not doing that in the NFL, right?
Yeah, he's 10,000, plus 10,000.
Plus 10,000, okay. What does he have to do to get the MVP? Win the division? If they win the division, is he the MVP?
No. No. If you win the NFC South with 9 wins, you're not the MVP.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, he's got to be amazing. They've got to win 13 games. He's got to be, over 4,000 yards.
Okay.
Yeah, 12, 12 games, okay. 4,000. I mean, we're talking about the MVP.
Yeah. No, I know what we're talking about, but sometimes I'm thinking more like, I guess, the Lions Mac of coach of the year, where a coach goes 9-7 and we crown the guy.
Totally.
Meanwhile, Andy Reid just, 11-5 every year, and everybody just looks at him like, that's what he's supposed to do. Yeah, what Andy does is harder than what any of these rum-dums do for 1 year.
Mahomes, plus 1,300.
Yeah, and that's not a bad bet.
Mm. No, Mahomes? Yeah. No. Yeah. Agreed.
Because, 1,300, man. 10, you win 130, just like that. But we can get to our futures later on in the week because we will do that a little bit later on. But coming up next, we talked to Josh Fournier about all things Royals, plus what he thought of the 3-home-run game for your debut. Here at 96.5 The Fan, your home for Vern.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Emmett Johnson, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Long time listener and supporter of you because you tell it like it is.
Here's our Royals insider, Josh Fournier.
All right, back at it here on 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty with you. Mac Morey alongside as well. And it is time to talk to our Royals insider, Josh Fournier, as we do every single Monday at this time. Vern, how you doing, my friend? You good?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. How you been?
Yeah, can't complain. Can't complain. Not as good as Noah Cameron's been doing over the last, couple of starts. Why did he take so long to decide to take his own career, if you will, and advocate for himself into his own hands?
I think a lot of it has to do with just the norms of baseball, right? For most of a pitcher's career, especially when you become a professional, you're used to relying on that catcher and having him kind of guide you throughout the game. But when Noah finds himself on the verge of being sent to AAA, honestly, if it wasn't for the injuries left and right in this rotation, Noah may have been optioned down to Omaha earlier in this season. But because of those injuries, he stuck around. He also has self-awareness. So he understood that, I'm struggling. B, the organization is starting to get fed up with my struggles. So much so that they're putting Beck Way in front of me, right? Beck Way serving as an opener in front of Noah Cameron. So he, like you said, takes charge of his career. And, with the pitch clock and the pitch calm, right, knowing that the pitchers can call their own pitches, that also lends itself to, like we see with Lugo, like we see with Waka, the pitchers calling their own pitches. So, why did it take so long? I would say partially just because that's baseball, but maybe even larger because the technology now makes it so much easier and almost demands it, right? Mm-hmm. Because of that pitch clock, you can't be hemming and hawing and shaking and next pitch. You need to get up there with conviction and throw it. And how can you be more convicted than calling your own pitches? So credit to Noah Cameron for putting even more pressure on his shoulders, because to me, there isn't a more culpable baseball player than the starting pitcher calling his own pitches. There's nobody that says, put all the pressure on me, more so than a pitcher doing that. And since Noah Cameron made that decision with the guidance of the coaching staff, he's been statistically the best pitcher in Major League Baseball. So much so that for the first time last night on the postgame show, I'm wondering, is Noah Cameron a top three pitcher on a contending team? I'm not there yet. Some Royals fans are. I need to see what he does in these final six starts. But man, how nice of a feeling would that be to get to the off season and feel confident that Noah Cameron can be one of your top three arms?
Vern, you know, it would be outstanding to answer your question, but I guess now with the technology that we have, and you make a great point on that as well, it kind of changes everything. Why don't we have more pitchers calling their own games? Because they know how they feel. Like,
you
no matter what the catcher says.
And you can read the hitter.
Yeah,
right. You can read the hitter swings from that spot on the mound.
Yeah, so I think it makes a lot of sense now with the pitch com to allow these guys to go out there. Because I do. I want a pitcher throwing a pitch that he is convicted with, not a pitch that somebody else is telling him to throw that maybe he just doesn't feel comfortable in throwing today.
Well, some pitchers don't put in the same amount of work that Noah Cameron does in between starts. And you have to imagine that he has learned quite a bit from Michael Wacha, who is the most diligent worker in between starts that I've ever seen at the big league level. So first and foremost is, you know, not everyone is as dialed in, as hardworking, as studious as Noah Cameron. There's also some guys that are... You know, I always think of Matt Strom, now the former Royal. He would talk about, I like being brain dead out there on the mound. I want my catcher to tell me what to throw because I'm confident in everything. So I want someone to guide me. I don't want to think too much. I just want to react and do what comes natural. So you also have that faction of big league pitchers that have always been guided by a catcher. Or, shoot, you know, sometimes the catcher is smarter, right? And that's not to knock Carter Jensen or Salvi or Luke Maley. That's a reflection of just how much work you're seeing Lugo and Wacha and Cameron put in between starts. But, you know, youth, inexperience, a lack of knowledge, plenty of reasons as to why a young pitcher wouldn't necessarily feel the type of confidence, wouldn't feel as prepared as you would certainly need to be to say, hey, catch, thanks, but no thanks, I got this one.
90% confidence, 10% skill. Yeah, so Vern, let's have a conversation about my guy, Jack Caglione. What have you seen since the All-Star break what this unit has really done at the plate?
Well, you know, I think the best way to answer that is, you know, Jack Caglione is drafted in July of 2024. He is called up, rushed up to the big leagues. He's called up to the big leagues in 2025, June of 2025. So less than a year after being drafted, he's in the big leagues. And if you go back to the beginning of June 1st, Cags is one of the 10 best hitters in Major League Baseball. So he's drafted in July of 2024, makes it to the big leagues in 11 months, and 12 months after that, he's one of the 10 best hitters in Major League Baseball, or starting a run in which he's going to become one of the 10 best hitters in Major League Baseball. So I don't think anything really clicked other than experience, confidence, failure, work and repetition. Again, in 1 year, less than 2 years after being at the University of Florida, the guy is everything you wanted him to be, maybe more, but he's everything that you hoped he would be. So I hate, there's just no way it was a tweak. To me, it's just the natural progression of an uber-talented possible superstar in this game. Now, you want to get nerdy about it. You heard Seth Lugo this weekend talk about, you know, Cags, again, because of that experience, understands that pitchers are now preying on his aggressiveness. That's why, and we've known that. We've known that Cags is always going to expand the zone because he's such a big, strong dude that he doesn't need to stay married to the strike zone. But he was expanding a tad bit too much. And teams were feasting on that aggressiveness, but he's been able to rein it in. And I think that was always expected. Again, he's just too good, too talented, too strong to not be one of the best, not just on the team, but one of the best in the American League. And here we are with 30-some-odd games to go, and he has a chance to wrap this season up as, you know, the best hitter on this team, which is saying something because 2 years ago, Bobby Witt Jr. was viewed as the best all-around player in Major League Baseball. And his bat was a big reason why, but, you know, 2 years later, Jack Caglione might be the best hitter on this team moving forward.
Am I hyperbolic to say he's going to be the Royals Player of the Year?
No. I mean, he's been there. Mm-hmm. Game one, knock on wood, hopefully up until game 162. And, you know, the longer I'm around the game, I appreciate the guys that post every mm-hmm. single day. I appreciate the pitchers that take the ball and eat up innings more than ever. So he's likely to end the season with the most home runs. He could catch and pass Bobby for the most base hits. He could have the best OPS on the team and the most RBI and the most extra base hits. He's been a fine defender. I mean, you saw the base running this mm-hmm. road trip was also extraordinary. Yeah, he's got an outstanding case. The only defense that Bobby has is I'm the best shortstop in all of baseball. Not to mention, even though I didn't need a rehab assignment and I hit the IL, he's come back and he's still, you know, Bobby Witt Jr. still batting 304 since returning from the injured list, 12 runs in 12 games. So Bob's still one of the five best players on the planet. The only reason I would give that award to Cags is because he hasn't missed any time.
What does the organization have to do this offseason, though, to make sure that Bobby and Cags are happy and do want to be here long term? How do we start moving that forward now, Vern?
I think the same way to make you happy and to make Dusty happy, and that is give us some pitching. Give us a real reason to believe that this team can compete in the American League Central. And I hate to consistently assume that the division's going to be down and that a 500 record's going to be good enough to do it.
Right.
But you know what? Fine. I'll go along with that. I still need a lot of pitching to believe that the Royals can compete in a average American League Central. If Bobby, Cags, they have Carter, they have Vinny, hopefully Mike Cal, hopefully those guys are all coming back over the course of this homestand. Yeah, I don't think that those guys look around and say we need help in the lineup or defensively or on the base paths, but the numbers scream we need help pitching-wise. And as we've talked about for the past few weeks, it certainly seems as if this organization believes they can make the type of moves to improve this pitching staff and get them back into contention in 2027. I'll tell you what, I don't know if I buy it, but Noah Cameron, obviously if this continues, it would be a big help for the team next season. It's just, I'm sorry, I've just never viewed Noah Cameron as a guy that you give the ball to in the postseason. I always viewed him as a guy that helps you get through 162, can eat up a lot of innings, and can be a key contributor to a winning ball club. But giving him the ball in a playoff game, he's that now? I'm not there yet, but boy, I can't wait to watch his next start against the Detroit Tigers.
So we know that there's the contract of Bobby Witt Jr. that has the opt-out. What does such a horrible loaded question. Obviously, the lockout is a possibility. Obviously, the superstardom of Jack Caglione is fully engaged. Having him stick around for the next 7 to 8 years and giving him that contract, you've got to think maybe that's something that shows Bobby Witt Jr., hey, this team's serious.
Yeah, I think Bobby's contract that he received showed him that this team is serious. That spits in the face of what this organization normally does. But yeah, if they were able to break off a deal for Cags, that number would be eye-popping. And honestly, I don't think Cags would sign right now. Yeah, I wouldn't either. If I was advising him. Because if I'm Jack Caglione, shoot, man, I think I could hit the All-Star break next year with 20, 25 home runs, and I could be an All-Star. And, man, if I can do that on the heels of what I've done here in the second half of the season, you know, that's basically a 162-game stretch of me being a 40, 50 home run guy, and that's going to add another $100, $200 million to my contract. So if I'm Cags, I'm waiting, right? Because you see what J.J. Weatherholt and Connor Griffin and a few other of his draft classmates received. If I'm Cags, I think I'm better than all these dudes, and I want a lot more money. So maybe next offseason for Cags. But, yeah, if I'm Bobby Witt Jr. and I see the Royals break off another nine-figure deal for a 23-year-old, you just don't see Cleveland or Milwaukee. You don't see Tampa. You don't see the consistently good small-market teams. Mm-hmm. Doing things like that. So, yeah, if the Royals were able to convince Cags to fork over a few of his free agent seasons, no doubt that would get the whole city juiced.
Yeah, I just don't think that's a smart move by the Royals right now, based on where they are in this current system of baseball. Yeah. Like, they've got so many
uncertainty.
Got so many other needs, Vern. Like, I think even talking to Cags after this season about a long-term contract is stupid, because I don't think it's money well spent at this time with where the organization is.
And, yeah, the uncertainty of, I don't think that they're going to win and get a salary cap, but if they do, you're already given Seth Lugo $20 million next year and likely another $20 million in 2028. Bobby Witt Jr.'s contract's going to jump up to $30 million in 2028. Mikel Garcia is going to be north of $10 million in 2028. I mean, these are
big numbers, dude.
Yeah, big numbers for Kansas City. Now, I'm not trying to, pinch pennies for John Sherman, but I'm also not an idiot. Those are huge numbers, at least in the 20 years, I've 15 years I've been covering this team. So if you throw in a $10 million, $15 million for Jack Caglione, John Sherman's really about throwing that money around. I just don't see it.
As long if you want to sign these guys, fine. But as long as it doesn't take away from doing the other things that are necessary to build a ball club is where I am with that.
100%. Yeah, because the moment they say, hey, well, we couldn't finish off this bullpen because of Bobby's contract, that's when we revolt.
That's exactly
right. That's when you get angry. Well, you're like, hold on. Are we in this to win, or are we pinching pennies here? Yeah. Once you start saying, hey, remember how we celebrated all these contracts? Well, now these contracts are the reasons why we're losing. Once that happens, the entire plan of the front office and the organization starts to blow up.
So when we see this team moving forward, because, in this market to get guys, you're going to have to give up guys, is Vinny safe and is Blake Mitchell safe?
No. But I wouldn't think that if you are so very dead set on winning in 2027, nobody should really be safe outside of those top three hitters, the 23-year-old Jensen Caglione and the great Bobby Witt Jr., everybody else. But as far as Vinny, see, to me, the issue with Vinny is this. Hopefully he's back tonight. But I have absolutely zero expectations for Vinny offensively in this final month of the season. I've just seen this hamate surgery. When it happens in season, guys, I just struggle to find guys that pick it back up offensively. Jose Ramirez hasn't been the same, and I'm listening to their play-by-play announcer, the Hall of Famer Tom Hamilton, talk about how Ramirez isn't going to be the Hall of Famer Jose Ramirez for the rest of the season. Not after that surgery. Guys just don't feel comfortable. They don't. Not only do they not feel comfortable, I mean, there's also a pain in the wrist that they feel when they're at the dish, when they're out there defensively. I remember Blake Mitchell last year. He also dealt with the hamate bone surgery and wasn't the same. So, I don't think that Vinny can get his trade value back to a place, certainly not to where it was last offseason. And if I'm the Royals in this small market that you acknowledge, I don't think it's smart to trade someone when their stock is low. And I can't imagine how Vinny can get his stock back to a place where this offseason is the time to move him. Maybe next offseason, maybe next trade deadline. But, him and Mikel, I'm not opposed to using them as trade bait, but I'm not going to get with the idea of moving them when their stock is. Vinny's stock is as low maybe as it's been, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's his worst season. Mikel's stock with a hand injury, that stock is low. So, no, those two shouldn't feel safe. The only reason they should is because of those injuries and because of that lowered stock. Blake Mitchell, his stock has taken a hit, but he's a prospect, and you can deal with that. any prospect, I'd be willing to move. You know, Reed Detmers was a guy that I was talking about going into that start on Saturday, saying, Royals fans, keep your eye on this guy. He's got 2 years left of team control. I would love to see the Royals make an acquisition of Reed Detmers, and then he went out there and struck out 11. 2 years of team control for Detmers. I'd give up one of your top pitching prospects. I'd give up Blake Mitchell. You bring him here with a Waka, a Lugo, a Noah Cameron. Okay, you're starting to make me feel a little bit better about 27 and 20.
Well, and to the Angels with a new, you know, general manager, I mean, you would have to think everything on that roster is kind of open for, you know, debate and having conversations about. And so I would absolutely be out there fishing in the Anaheim pool if I were the Royals at this point in time. But you'd made a kind of an offhand comment, Vernon. I wanted to circle back to it. You don't think there's going to be a salary cap by the time this is all said and done?
I would just be surprised. I'd be shocked if the union, if ownership was able to break this union, right? It's the last one that's still standing strong. You know, they have plenty of evidence on their side, right? The Yankees just take on some private equity that has them valued north of $10 billion. I know the Yankees and Dodgers are playing different games, but if I'm the union, no, they're playing the same game. You guys are making plenty of money. We don't need a salary cap. It's going to cost us billions of dollars. Now, I get the argument for a cap and a floor and how it could better the game. My only pushback to that is I don't think baseball can rise any higher than where it stands currently in our American entertainment landscape. I think baseball, just like the NBA and the NHL and MLS, they are where they're always going to be, if not, you know, if anything, they're going to drop. But I think all those sports are what they're always going to be because the NFL's only getting bigger day by day.
So, Vern, what happens then if there is no salary cap and salary floor? How does this whole thing end up? And if they do miss a lot of time, how do you win your fans back if you do come back after an extended period of time with no cap or floor?
No kidding. I'm frightened to see how it goes. I'm wondering how long the game of chicken will last for the owners, but it really comes down to them. How dead set are they on the salary cap, on the salary floor? Do they capitulate, you know, as we get towards the end of March into April? We'll see. I'm not silly enough to think that this season's going to start on time, but I still believe we'll play the All-Star game. I certainly believe we'll still have the postseason. And honestly, I don't think owners care all that much if we miss the first month of the year. The weather's terrible.
Then lop it off to begin with. Then let's just get rid of 30 games to start with the season.
Please.
Yeah, right?
I mean, I'm with that.
Yeah, if the owners don't care, then get rid of them.
I capitulate to that.
I agree. You know I'm with that. 162 doesn't make sense.
No, not anymore. It doesn't.
You know what also doesn't make sense is your major league debut and you hit three bombs.
In the first pitch. Swing, home run. Obviously, there's a lot of money to be made, but how boss would it be? Hit that home run and never pick up a bat again.
Yeah, it's like if I ever get a hole in one, Vern, I'm done. I kid.
That's not true.
No, it's not. I'm addicted to everything in life, including you. But no, I thought it was cool. Did you hear the story about how the bee was following him around the whole day?
So no, I saw a picture of him hugging his ma.
Yeah, so he lost his father. He lost his father, right? And then the whole day, there's like this bee that's following him around, and you know, connect the dots. I thought that was
I love that stuff,
right? And that's just baseball 101. Right? Yeah. Not only that, Cardinals player in Wrigley, biggest rival, 3 home runs debut. I don't know how it gets any better than that.
Oh man, that bee! I didn't know about that. I love that.
It's a good story.
I love that, especially you know, if him and his old man, if they had, you know, they kind of needled each other. How sweet would that be?
Oh, it's insane, man.
Yeah, that's awesome.
All right, man. I didn't look. Is Kurt still out?
Is who?
Nick Kurtz, because I know the A's are coming.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Royals are huge favorites tonight.
So I have a chance to redeem myself?
Well, I don't know, because the guy starting for the A's is the guy you gave up to acquire Lucas Urseg, so I'm sure he has a redemption.
Who is that?
Mason Barnett.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, he's up. But yeah, I really wanted to see Kurtz do BP, and then Cags do BP, because, you know, the storyline that follows those two guys' career the rest of time. I mean, could you imagine that in Kauffman Stadium?
And Mason Barnett is a righty, so Cags could get real nice tonight.
Oh, okay, I'm going to get on my app right now. Vern, we appreciate it. I'll see you Thursday, buddy, and then I'll come by tomorrow night and say hi to you as
well. All right, guys. Appreciate it as always. Thank you.
Love you.
See you, Vern.
Capitulate. I like that word.
Capitulate.
I'm going to save that for the rest of time. To surrender. To give in. To end resistance.
Capitulate.
Did you know that word?
Mm-hmm.
I forget how smart you guys are. Did you know that word?
Gosh, I did know that one.
All right, I'll go get educated. We'll get back on the other side here at 96.5 The Fan. You're home for...
Capitulate.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Noah Williams, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan.
As we move on, somebody says, Dusty, I know you like to stir things up. You should go out and tell Cody that the Pat McAfee album is actually not bad, which it actually isn't. He looked like a freaky lunatic on Friday when Drew and Gold kept playing it and they kept telling him he was jealous. He said it sucked.
Oh, he's definitely jealous of it. BBL stinky.
I wish I could. I
haven't listened. I can't find it on iTunes.
Well, that's probably best. I will not listen to it. I have no opinion on the album because I haven't listened to it, but I do think that ESPN has officially jumped the shark with Pat McAfee. But I do love the suggestion. Anytime you want me to stir things up, please let me know. That's my role. But unfortunately, I can't do that today because Cody and Alex are in St. Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be joined by Nick Bolton after practice today. Max already sent Alex a question, said, does he worry about Bassa? I'm kidding. He didn't send that. But Nick Bolton will be with Alex and Cody after practice today. Andy Reid will talk. Ogbo will talk. Melvin Smith, Jared Wiley, all at the podium. So some.
Who the hell's Melvin Smith?
Mac?
Big special teams, and he looked really good in the secondary. He could. We talked about Cader Kahu, one of the guys they signed in free agency.
Was he a second half guy on Saturday?
He was in there in the first half. He made some plays. Yeah, he's a guy, as far as like I've been seeing the first 53-man roster predictions come out, he's a guy that people are saying is going to make it over Cader Kahu, which was a guy that Brett Veach signed in free agency this season. So, yeah, exciting. Yeah.
We got a first-time listener. What's the backstory behind the BBL stinky sounder that Bob says? It's like once a week. So
BBL stinky.
Somebody said Cardi B had a stinky BBL. Yeah. She said, it don't stink. I take care of it. And then Bob just happened to do that in the festival way.
Yeah, she said her BBL didn't stink.
Such a good moment.
I mean, it really was. It's a good show moment, good life moment.
No one saw it coming.
Yeah. Nope. What did you talk about today, guys? Well, we talked about Cardi B's BBL not smelling. Oh, okay. How did that work out for you? BBL stinky.
Instead of that, let's talk about Missouri mothers. Okay. I mean, I sent this to you guys. I don't know if you'd seen it before I sent it to you, but I mean, it's absolutely great.
It happened to me.
Okay. Ooh. So this is, this comes from Mizzou parents and family. An anonymous person put this on. It says, okay, this is probably a little awkward to ask, but here we go. This is a story that got posted on X. I've been reading through posts about getting our sons ready for college dorm life, including all the supplies and medications they might need. And I've noticed a lot of moms mentioned picking condoms for their sons. As a mom, I'd like to put a couple of boxes in my son's things, too, just in case. But honestly...
Good. But let's pause right there. That's smart. Good job by mom.
100%.
But wait, there's more.
Oh, yes, there is.
But honestly, I have no idea what size to buy. He's a pretty small guy. He weighs about 121 pounds. For those of you who have sons around the same size slash build, what size condoms do you usually buy? And how do you actually tell what size they are when you're looking at the package?
Well, it says SMLXL on them. It's like a t-shirt.
For those of you who have sons around the same 2-2 build... What size condoms do you usually buy? And now, do you actually tell what size they are when you're looking at the package? I think she's talking about the condom package. My son doesn't have a girlfriend, and he's generally not very comfortable talking to me about things like sex or how to use condoms, so I'm not really comfortable asking him directly. I was thinking I'd just...
You'd never ask your son what size condom he needs, Mom, ever.
No.
I was thinking I'd buy some and quietly put them in his luggage just in case he ever needs them. Any advice for moms who have been through this?
would be greatly appreciated. Hey, son, you got a hog? What size you need? Not sure. Like, you know what I mean?
Like I appreciate mom doing that. You got to take care of all of that kind of stuff. But you
he's
don't go
a
to
small
a,
guy.
Yeah, why are you going to a message board? Why are you going to the message boards with that?
Luckily, it was anonymous. But even still,
that's the line of the entire post. He's a small guy. Space. He weighs about 121.
100. How much do you weigh?
165.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
but he's not a small guy. I've seen that.
Medium. Yeah.
But I'm not like wieners. You are a smaller guy though. Like 121 pounds for an 18-year-old. That's tiny.
That's tiny. Yeah.
Right.
I haven't weighed that in a long.
Like that's tiny, tiny.
College. Yeah.
Well, maybe he's got a crank.
In fact, I wrestled in eighth grade. I wrestled 120.
That's a small guy going to college. So I'd like to see, you know, what's the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you with your parents?
Oh God, where do I start? I mean, I've had an embarrassing story before, like just with me and my dad. Like I used to have, you know, my parents were divorced, so we had, you know, split households. And one day my mom was coming to pick me up and my dad had already been home and my dad's going to hate me for saying this story. But he was upstairs changing out of his work outfit. He used to work for a paper company called Expedex. It used to be Nationwide Paper. For those of you that are in Kansas City for your whole life, he comes downstairs. He's in his boxer briefs. They're white. And he asked me this question. Have you seen my hammer? As in, like, he's trying to put stuff up on the wall. And I said, Dad, I got to leave. And I was, like, in eighth grade. I get in the car, and I'm disheveled. I'm looking down, and my stepdad's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, my dad just asked me if I'd seen his hammer. And he's in his briefs. And he just, we got to get the hell out of here. You know what I mean?
Men's
but, I mean,
wieners.
He wasn't talking about the unit.
No.
The tool. So that was pretty tough.
Why was he hanging pictures or whatever he was in his underwear?
I think he just randomly thought about it and was getting ready to put on some clothes because the laundry room was downstairs. Their room was tops.
Yeah.
Have you seen my hammer? Says Dad. Well, that's great.
Mac, what about you?
I don't really have any.
Your parents
crazy
never embarrassed
moment.
You or did anything like that? No.
Mom's over involved sometimes, shows up to everything, but that's not really embarrassing.
That's not embarrassing.
No,
it's
just, yeah, she no, loves you me. Want she's that. There. Yeah, it's no, great. No, I love that.
The day they don't show up is the day you
of
get
course,
upset. Like,
course.
Oh man, I did something. My overly involved mom isn't here.
Yeah,
where is
that
she?
Would be bad,
you know?
Right?
That would suck. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Like, did you get the talk?
No.
The talk? Yeah, Dad.
I didn't get the talk. Like, I didn't want it, but I was into wrestling. And there was this character named Al Snow, and he had a mannequin head. Well, you know how wrestling is, man. Yeah. They throw innuendos out there, and his theme song was, "What does everybody want?" And it was his mannequin head, and he'd come out here and shake it. And I'm in the back of the Astro van leaving Minsky's on 7 Highway in Blue Springs for all of you that lived out there and know that area. And I'm just in the back singing 13 years old, "What does everybody want? Head, head, head." And my mom hit the brakes so hard. Stepdad's like, "You know what that means?" And I'm like, "No." My mom's like, "You'll know when we get home," because she was that lady.
Oh.
God rest her soul. Damn. If I said anything, nurse, dude, right?
Well, you got that. That's the right way to
so
parent.
So my mom would just be like, "You know what that means?" I'm like, "Yeah, he has a mannequin head that he comes out with that he hits people with and it knocks him out."
I mean, we talk about everything in our house. I think you have to talk about everything. If you hide stuff and act like it's not that or act like it's a big deal, then it's like your kids are going to think it's a big deal. It's like the drinking age in this country, right?
Totally.
Everybody gets out of control because they're not allowed to do something.
Agreed.
If it's part of the culture like it is in Europe, you don't have these drinking incidents that take place. And so I think as a parent, you have to talk to your kids and let them know this stuff is a fact of life. It's not that big a deal. We're not going to hide this kind of stuff. I mean, we used to have a drop on this show, and I don't even remember where it was. Is my mom, you know, like, because I think Kling asked her one time, what did he do that was bad and about sex or something like that? Mm. And she said he wanted to know what the lady was fixing her hair the other day on QVC, what she said.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, well, he'll have to ask his father that one. And so, those are the kind of moments, you know. My mother bought me my first cup when I was a child, and it was like an extra large. And so I'm sixth grade running around with this extra large cup in my pants. You know, my mother announced,
guys, you got one too.
No, but it wasn't like that. You couldn't walk back then.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable.
You
know? Well, imagine having an extra large unit. You can't walk very well with that either.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing that, you know, she announcing to, you know, a graduation party from high school that I still had not had armpit hair yet and things of that nature. God. So
she's a saint.
I mean,
oh, Lord.
You know, but other than that.
First time I ever met her, you look much better in person.
Yeah.
What do I look like on camera? I have so many questions.
And Mac, you'll get some moments here, I'm sure. I mean, I'm surprised your mom hasn't embarrassed you.
I mean, the fact that this kid's mom said, as a mom, I'd like to put a couple of boxes in my son's things,
too. It's good mom.
Just in case. But honestly, I have no idea what size to buy. He's a pretty small guy.
Yeah, at least you're buying for one, lady.
You can go to a restaurant, get those little finger condoms. I mean, there's that, or there's, you know, maybe everybody's favorite local news channel.
That is the, if you can provide yourself with food, and again, they're ice fishing because everything is frozen, you're looking for fat in the beaver.
Yeah,
the beaver is the beaver is the most sought after.
It is the
Ryan. Do you think you could eat beaver?
I mean, reminds me of talking to Ned about the beavers back in the day. And Ned was always talking about the beavers are the hardest working animal out there. You don't want to be too hard on the beavers, you know, all that kind of stuff.
It reminds me of a Naked Gun.
Oh, yeah. Nice beaver. Thanks.
Ryan, do you think you could eat beaver?
Okay. Good day, Detroit. That's where that audio comes from. Bob? I don't know what size to buy him. He's a small guy.
He's a small guy.
Oh, man.
That poor guy.
God, that sucks.
Why does that remind me of like Road Trip when Kyle gets the girl? Have you seen Road Trip?
Mm-hmm.
When he goes to the fraternity party?
One of the grossest scenes in movie history.
What'd you do, Kyle? Kill a cheetah? See if Reggie has a condom to the right in the thing underneath the glass case. Knew exactly where it was. Coming up next, real things from the preseason. I promise no more condom talk here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Less amount of cock on it as possible, right?
Didn't see that coming.
I say clock.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Peter Woods, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football on 96.5 The Fan.